The great part of today, other than the message we're going to get, is I get to utilize my light bright. I've been waiting and waiting for the gift that God was going to give me to be able to use my light bright as a visual aid, and the time has come. Oh, I'm going to turn it on. You got to wait for it. So today's title is Don't Drift Away, and that's a literal scripture in Colossians that we're going to read here in a little bit. And we've been talking about when we did go through the 5-week that was intended to be a 3-week sermon series, we learned a lot about transformation, transforming our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength to be towards God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But today's sermon is kind of going on that, even though we're not doing that, but we've learned that stuff, and I want to solidify we've got that stuff. So then what happens when the waves and the rain and the unexpected storms come in our life? We humans can be like little ships in a vast ocean with free will or decision-making authority, with things out of our control like winds, waves, rain, too much sun, not enough sun. There are other ships competing for space, time, resources. In a world like this, how do we stay grounded? How do we not get caught up in it all? How do we not drift away into temptations, misprioritization, loneliness, overcrowding schedules and our space? How do we shine our light that is within us, that is Jesus Christ? So wasn't that better than at the beginning? For something more useful than the light bright, but now you're thinking about this, right? Is my light shining through my little sailboat that I am through the world? Is the scriptures. And we're going to talk about 4 tips and tools. These are not all the tips and tools that are in this book, but there's 4 of them that we're going to talk about today that will help keep us anchored to God and not drift away. So the first one is to remember Christ is supreme and what Christ did for each one of us. And that's where we're going to turn to Colossians 1. And we'll read 15 through 23. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled himself everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. So Christ reconciled us to God. Christ brought us before God as holy and blameless without a single fault. And I know everybody is at a place that they fully believe that all the time. Work in progress? Yeah. It is a work in progress, and I get that. But deep within, that's where our faith and our trust has to lie so that we can believe that when that darkness comes, we can believe. No matter where our heads are in that moment, no matter where our emotions are, if you cling to the fact that we know as Christians that Christ died on the cross and reconciled us to Jesus, reconciled us to God, you are faultless and blameless because God took it all. So when we have our struggles and our trials and we start to rethink about who we are, that's what you're clinging to, and that's what would be that light. That means if we stay anchored to that belief that I just talked about, we stay anchored to that belief when the waves of doubt come, we can reject them and we can stand firm in our faith. So when you hear those voices in your head that may not say the kindest things to you, remember we talked about we have decision-making authority that God gave us, otherwise known as free will. You can decide to believe that or not believe it. You can decide to kick it out of your brain or not. It's not that it doesn't cycle, but you can choose to reject that every time. Or somebody comes and naysays. You know who you are and stand firm in who you are in Christ. The second thing that will help us with all that too is that God was, is, and always will be, and God was, is, and always will be there specifically for you in whatever you're going through in life. David provides a great example in Psalm 66 of how we can come back to reality if we sit down and we think about the things that God has done with the stories that we know in the Bible and with the stories that you know about your own life that was either directly done with your life or with somebody that you know. So Psalm 66 is this. Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs. Come and see what God has done, what awesome miracles he performs for people. He made a dry path through the Red Sea, and his people went across on foot. There we rejoiced in him, for by his great power he rules forever. He watches every movement of the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance. Let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. Our lives are in his hands, and he keeps our feet from stumbling. You have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver. You captured us in your net and laid the burden of slavery on our backs. Then you put a leader over us. We went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. And now I come to your temple with burnt offerings to fulfill the vows I made to you. Yes, the sacred vows that I made when I was in deep trouble. That is why I am sacrificing burnt offerings to you. The best of my rams is a pleasing aroma and a sacrifice of bulls and male goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin of my heart, and the Lord would not have listened, but God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love for me. Verse 9, our lives are in his hands, and he keeps our feet from stumbling. Verse 20, praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. David is taking time to praise God through walking through the story of God's people, being released from slavery and out of Egypt's control. He also made a nod to all the miracles that God did with the Israelites to keep them going in the desert, and how he parted the waters a couple times, providing abundance in the wilderness. They never went hungry. They never went thirsty, living in the desert. If we take the time to think on how God has been there in the past, we can see more clearly how God is there for us now and we can have the hope of how God will be there for us for the future. And that hope is what drives our faith. So when you can't see things clearly because we have the unseen things in this world, that faith will help you be there. The other thing that I love about this psalm and the next psalm that we're going to think about is gratitude and praise beats taking for granted and grumbling every time. Every time, praise and gratitude will elevate you versus taking for granted and grumbling. Think about how you feel and where your focus is when you praise versus grumble. When you have gratitude in your heart versus taking for granted. God will show up. I'm not talking about venting or working through processing events that have occurred and understanding and realizing your emotions within a situation. We need to do that. I'm not saying that thing should be ignored. What I'm referring to is your heart and your overall perspective. Is it full of gratitude? Or is it full of taking things for granted? Is it full of praise? Or is it more focused on grumbling? Because that is your overall perspective on the world, on your life, on God. If you have more gratitude and praise, you're more likely to stay anchored to God. When you have more of an attitude of taking things for granted or grumbling, you have more of a chance of drifting away from God. Because then our blinders start to come on and we start being, it's harder for us to resist those temptations of the world. So Psalm 66 continues on with 67 with a bunch of praise. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. Number four. Although we are each our own unique little sailboat, I know that's 2 minutes, so I know it's been off. We are all our unique, individual, beautiful sailboat, exuding whatever colors and personality and whatever makes us unique. We are not alone. And although if you think about a sailboat on a vast ocean, it could seem like sometimes you're out there all by yourself, but you're not alone. As we covered, God is always and always will be there. We are surrounded by each other. Look around the room. You got a bunch of people that have decided to be part of this body of Christ. So let's be encouragers to each other. As things get tough and folks will drift, you yourself may drift. We can be encouragers to each other and help pull each other back, help anchor each other back to God. Remind each other about Christ. Recall things that God has done for us and usher in comfort through praising God and showing gratitude. Like the example of David retelling the stories. The letter to the Colossians, reminding them of who Christ is. So 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 20:22 gives us some reminders. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always tries to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from evil of every kind. Be patient with everyone. Encourage. Take tender care. Don't pay evil for evil. Do good to each other. Be joyful. Pray. Be thankful. Allow the Holy Spirit to move. Know God and hold on to what is good. And avoid evil. Back to Colossians. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Believe the truth and stand firm. That's how you will stay grounded and build habits that resist temptation. That was important, little nugget. Build habits that resist temptation. It's a journey, and habits, especially the good ones, just seem really, really hard to get planted. So be patient with yourself too. You know, when we talked about be patient with everyone, be patient with yourself too. You got to build those habits to resist temptation and stay a bright light shining. You just got to make sure. Stay a bright light shining Christ's glory to others, encouraging them, and remain in God's presence. He was always there, by the way. That's us that go away. We drift. Because God is, was, and always will be there for you. And what Christ did cannot be undone. Praise and a grateful heart can realign you. The circumstance, I'm just going to be honest, the circumstance isn't going to change because of that. The circumstance is a circumstance. But how you see through it, how you allow the Holy Spirit and God to guide you through it, that will change. Encourage yourselves, encourage others to stay firm. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message this morning, God. We ask that the tools that we talked about today, God, resonate within our hearts and our souls, God. And that we, each one of us, take time this week, God, to meditate on your words through these scriptures that we went over today, God. And truly ask ourselves what we can work on first. And allow you to guide us, God. To make that choice, God, that we have to do things that draw us closer to you, that anchor us to you, and prevent us from drifting away. In your precious and glorious name we pray. Amen.